Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The citizens of Pella will soon have the opportunity to vote on the expansion and modernization of their public school facilities. What's proposed? What are the benefits? And how is it going to be paid for? Let's go in depth with Pella Community School District Superintendent Greg Ebeling. So, Greg, there's a bond issue before the voters, April 2nd, before the voters in the Pella School District. Could you tell us a little bit about what the monies will be used for?
It really is. It starts out with two priorities. The two priorities are for safety improvements in the schools and also for improved student learning spaces. And we're literally looking at all of our facilities. We have five different school buildings. All of those will actually be touched by this bond issue. We have some facilities that are going to be renovated, some facilities that are going to be new. It starts out with a career academy at the high school, which we involve lots of businesses and creating partnerships there to give kids experiences, and partnership with both Pella Christian and with DMAC to create some opportunities for students. That will be at our high school. Our high school will then undergo some additional renovation, create some new learning spaces there. That'll kind of improve and enhance a security entrance at the high school that will make a better drop-off, pick-up lane for students as well. And then at the middle school, some renovation and improvements, security entrance. At Jefferson, a security entrance and improved drop-off pickup area. Madison is improvements on the playground. And then Lincoln Elementary is a new elementary school building on the Lincoln Elementary site. So several districts' facilities are affected. It really is a comprehensive look in trying to upgrade everything in our whole system.
So you have state-of-the-art facilities.
Right. It's really to some of the things we're doing in education requires a lot of collaboration, even between students and teachers. And so we're trying to make our learning spaces enhanced. A lot of what you see today is some small group instruction, teachers pulling out, working with smaller groups in the elementary. That's kind of the setting. So both elementary and middle school, we're creating some learning pods where there'd be a group learning setting, there'd be classroom spaces. We also can enhance then, like I said, the safety of all those schools as well by kind of creating a single point of entry into all the schools. That's another enhancement on the safety side. But in the end, we upgrade all our facilities. We make an improvement. And it's an important piece for the district to keep looking forward as to what trends are happening in education, what things that we know we can enhance through in facility improvements. Sometimes we're limited very much what we can do with programs because of the structure that we have. And so that structure really creates kind of a confining element at times in how we can program the kids in this different setting. So what I'm hoping for in the end, that we come up with a positive vote that supports what we're trying to do. It'll just enhance the community. It kind of puts our schools, what I would say, on a little higher plane than what we currently have. Nothing's wrong with our schools right now, but if we don't keep looking to improve them 10, 15 years down the road, we're going to look quite a bit behind some of our neighbors.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pella Community School District Superintendent Greg Ebeling. And so I presume that this money will come out of an increase of some sort in property taxes.
Right. And actually, the majority of the funds come from sales tax that we're already collecting. Okay. So the nice part about this project is that literally 3/4 of the money comes from sales tax already collected. So that means the property tax increase is fairly minimal compared to what it could have been if we wouldn't have had any of the sales tax money. So there is no increase, no change in sales tax. Sales tax will be collected the same as it has always been, so people won't see any difference there. The difference would be in the property tax asking. And what we're asking for is 50 cents per $1,000 of evaluation increase. That looks different on residential and farming and commercial property. On residential, you have a rollback on your assessed value, and literally you pay property taxes on about half of what your real assessed value is. So if you have a $100,000 home, you actually pay property taxes on $50,000 of that. So what 50 cents per thousand means is really $25 for every $100,000 worth of property.
Per year.
So it's an annual thing. So if you owned a $150,000 home, that'd be like $3,750. If you owned a $300,000 home, it would be about $75 per year. So that's residential. Now, farming is different. Farming is based upon production, and the average farm ground in Marion County is assessed at about $1,300 per acre. We have a few above that and a few below that, but that's kind of the average in Marion County. And so if you think about that, then farmers also have a rollback, and they end up paying about 39 cents per acre on average annually for increased property tax. So if I have 100 acres, it would be $39. If I own 1,000 acres, it'd be $390. So that's kind of the farming. The property tax is different because it's not actually what their land is valued at in terms of if they would sell it. It's valued about how much production that ground will give. Now, a commercial property tax situation is actually 100%. So unlike ag and unlike residential, commercial does not have a rollback. So 50 cents per thousand is $50 for every 100,000 that you own. So if you're a business owner downtown or you own an industry, they pay 100% of what their assessed value is. And so that increased asking, while it's still will be seen, it's small in comparison to what the total projects are, and mainly because the local option sales tax, the sales tax dollars that we already collect, will cover the majority of the projects.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pella Community School District Superintendent Greg Ebling.
And what's the total price tag for all of this?
Yeah, the total price tag is about $29 million. So we're literally doing $29 million worth of projects potentially without really a huge significant property tax increase. And that's because the sales tax has went statewide. And so that's collected all the way across the whole state of Iowa, and actually that revenue is shared even between counties. So the nice thing is that it's been such that now it used to be that Polk County or Marion County or any county, Lynn County, Johnson County, all were by themselves, but now the tax is collected and then distributed out per pupil to all the schools equally. And it never used to be that way. So it used to be that Polk County would get a lot more money just because they have a lot more sales that happen in Polk County. Well, now we actually get part of Polk County's sales tax, which we never used to. So that's kind of a nice thing. So that's shared statewide. And so some counties that I can think of south of here don't have a big residential base. Or a big base in sales, and so they would be generating not very much per pupil at all. So they're all equally funded now, and it keeps it equal across the whole state.
And so it's just not the big cities pulling everything in like
right.
they do on a lot of things.
Right. So this is nice for us, and we can support, you know, school infrastructure with that sales tax and really do some pretty nice things. So basically we could do some pretty nice things without any property tax increase, but there are just a few of these enhancements that we know we still have as a high priority, and we believe that slight property tax increase also should be a part of it, because we've already prioritized down and really cut out some of the potential projects that we thought were more fluff, and we've really just got down to the things that we know we need to replace and fix.
Only a new elementary building.
Yep. The elementary, the Lincoln Elementary building, we really went into that process thinking that we would renovate that elementary, try to get it more on par with what the kids experience at Madison Elementary at the same grade level. And Lincoln really is confined in terms of the amount of space, some of the way the programs are done because of shared spaces. And so we ended up seeing that to make Lincoln on par with Madison, by the time you improve the heating, ventilation system, add air conditioning, all those pieces, it was going to be nearly $10 million worth of improvements. And so we were going to put $10 million into an old facility. And a brand new elementary school is literally $12.5 million. So it was just kind of the cost factor of if we're going to invest 10 and still be confined with some of the space we would have, it makes more sense at that point in time to just build a new elementary that has the space we need. So long term, that was decided as opposed to the renovation, kind of just because of the cost factor. We really looked at the exact same thing at the high school. Would it have made more sense just to build a new high school than to make the renovations to the high school? But the high school projects total about $12 million total, and a new high school would be about $34 million. So if we would have went with a new high school, that would have been a pretty large project, and we still wouldn't have improved any of the other facilities. So we would have spent more than $29 million that we're proposing on just the new high school and not had any of the other facilities at all improved. So that would have just created a much larger need for a bond issue. So we're trying to do this as conservatively as we can, but still really enhance our facilities.
Good schools is a public good. It's something that is good for everybody, even if you don't have kids in school anymore,
yeah.
Right?
It is. You know, the story that I've heard that a good friend told me and I think is a applicable one, that, you know, there was a farmer out in the field, and he was talking to his grandson, and the grandson was the farmer was planting trees to basically have as a windbreak for his field, and that farmer was planting trees, and the grandson was going, well, Grandpa, how come you're planting these trees? This doesn't make any sense. You know, you're like 75 years old. You aren't going to see these trees because they're not going to be very big, and you're going to be gone before you ever see them. And he goes, Grandson, you're exactly right. But you see those other trees over there that are about 100 years old? Somebody else planted those trees, and they aren't getting to see those trees be the beauty that they currently are, and it's because somebody else sacrificed and planted those trees that I plant these trees right now, and in the end we all have to plant things for the future, and we can't just live on what is and now, and everybody has to sacrifice for the next generation. And I guess in the end, somebody decided to build the original high school in Pella. Somebody sacrificed to make that happen. Somebody sacrificed to decide to build the new high school here back in the 1960s. And all our facilities constantly actually get improved really for the next generation, maybe not for our kids, because a lot of times by the time they're built, our kids are through school. But we have to look at it as kind of improving for the future and to continue to make our community viable. And that's what I really think of it as, is really planting for the future.
Well, I guess I'm just going to assert here that to me it doesn't seem like that great of a sacrifice, in the sense that what you're talking about for most people in Pella is less than a tank of gas per year.
It is.
Right?
It is. There were some families that were actually viewing the information about our upcoming facilities, and they were saying, well, this is going to cost us about $50 per year. And so they said, well, really, that's just us not going out to eat as a family about one time.
Sure.
And that's really true, is that if you think about that cost, that actual increase, it will cost some people some extra dollars, but it's in the grand scheme of things, it is not, for what we're getting, it's not a great increase. So that's, again, the nice thing that the sales taxes allowed us to do, is to literally do some pretty nice things without having to put that all on the back of property tax. And in the old days, that's the way they had to do it. Everything was bonded for, just about. Everything had to go out and be put on property tax. But now, with the sales tax option, really gives us a great ability to do some things without burdening the taxpayers that have property.
Well, now everybody I've talked to thinks that this is a great idea. One problem with everybody thinking it's a great idea, though, is the fact that if I think it's a great idea, I'll think everybody else will think it's a great idea, and maybe I won't bother to go vote. Is that a problem?
It is. You know, unfortunately, voter apathy is kind of prevalent. People don't, just think things are going to happen and my vote doesn't really matter. If I miss the vote, it's not a big deal. But literally, it does make a big difference, because a low voter turnout really risks that this whole issue doesn't pass. It does take a 60% majority. That means 60% of the people that vote or greater have to approve it. And a low voter turnout could potentially say that, well, then it may not take a lot of votes to actually sink the whole issue. And we obviously would, you know, if it didn't pass, we would come back at it, look at it, revisit it, and then probably come after it again. I think it's something our community needs to embrace, and we just need to make sure we're communicating well enough out there. People know what it's about, why we're doing it, and we're working hard to do that right now. But but certainly we need everybody to get out and vote, because a good voter turnout will ensure that this will pass.
Thanks to Greg Ebling for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.